this civilization is not normal.
Absolutely not.
It is very dysfunctional. It's very weird. And we have not evolved to the point where this is normal for us. Yeah.
I think the system we live in, it's a very sick system. For sure it is. And it gets sicker by the day. It's a system that has a goal of having zombies. I mean, cities have zombies and not inhabitants. Everybody goes to jobs they really hate. They study careers they don't like at all. They work for a little wage. They get on credits to pay material things that will fulfill them for a few minutes. And then they get all these gadgets that what actually do, they distract them from getting moments where they can look inside of themselves. So whenever they feel anxious, just get the phone. And they go compulsively on Instagram or Facebook. It's a system designed for you not to think.
What's up? I am here with Gerardo Mañano. He's a dating coach, originally from Argentina, but now you're like one with the world, just yeah. Traveling, doing the travel thing. And this is the Austin Summers podcast, the podcast to get you the girls that you want. And I just like to talk with guys that are interesting, who have a depth of knowledge that you can't really get elsewhere. I can't Google his experience. I can't Google his knowledge. But I can ask him some questions. We can figure out some things. So, can you give us your 30-second intro? I know everyone hates this question, but for the people that don't know you.
Well, Gerardo Mañano here. As you said, I'm originally from Argentina. I've been coaching guys on how to meet girls, how to seduce girls all over the world for the last 13 years almost. I've been to over 50 countries exploring and learning as well what makes dating special in every culture and every situation, in every different continent, and with language barriers, and yeah, just exploring the world like a 21st century Casanova, enjoying life and helping others on the way.
Yeah, how old are you now?
I'm 31.
31, nice.
Yeah, I was 18 when it first started.
Do you have some kind of goal, like you want to hit every country or something like this?
Yes, nice. I'm actually on that path right now, going to every country in the world and understanding how dating works in every different country.
Yeah, there's one thing that I found interesting about most dating coaches is that they're almost like armchair sociologists, because we like go to a different place and we're like, why is it different? It's like, it's different for these reasons, but why? Right?
Yeah.
So like we're here currently in Colombia. And he was telling me before we started, he's like, Colombian women are like heroin. And you could just look at me for the most part. Fuck the camera. Just pretend it's
not here.
It's not even there. So yeah, I like to start off with some juicy stuff. So what are the countries you think have the best dating culture? We're like, women are women, men are men. It's just like this good dynamic. It's a symbiotic thing. It's not like this overly independent thing like the U.S. where it's just like me, myself, and I. And fuck, I know my worth. But it's like, you know, it's a symbiotic. It's like men have value. I love men. Women have value. I love women. Then these two people come together. It's a very productive, happy relationship. What are those places that you've gone where you've seen that work the best?
It works in a very interesting way, because like every different country or every different culture, especially where the countries are especially very religious, they have different ideas on what a man is and what a woman is. But on the basis that we're talking right now, I would for sure rank Colombia among the first places, tied with Venezuela for sure. And I have a special love for a country that is Israel. Israel offered me so much, and I learned so much by meeting the people there, and also the women there. I feel that everybody's so full of wisdom for some reason. Is that I never understood why my whole life people fight over Jerusalem, the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jewish. But once you go there, you feel some special energy. I cannot describe it. I'm not religious myself, but there's something going on there. And every woman you meet, it's crazy, but she teaches you something, and that blows your mind. I'll put Israel in the first place and Colombia, Venezuela in the second, for sure.
Nice.
Russia on the third place, for sure.
Okay. Nice. And what have some of those girls taught you?
Well, I have crazy experiences there. I was trying to find some answers. I was trying to get more. It was a period of my life where I was trying to get more ground. It was so much traveling. I didn't know what I was from. I came back to Argentina, but I felt like a total foreigner there. So in this trip, I was trying to find my home, or feeling grounded, feeling that I belong somewhere. I ended up going to Israel because a good friend of mine is a coach in there, so he invited me to Tel Aviv and Haifa. So I go there, I'm sitting in a restaurant eating and asking myself all these questions. And then all of a sudden, just a girl passes by, this beautiful girl, and she tells me, she looks at me, and I feel that she looked inside of me. It was so crazy. And she tells me, today your chakras are not aligned. I was like, wow. And that's exactly how I felt. My chakras were not aligned at all. So then she comes back and she asked me, can I sit down with you for a minute? And she was like, of course. So she sits down with me, and for 4 hours she rant about all the things in my life that I need to improve, which were actually so accurate. Like, how the hell she knew? She gave me so much love advice, and then she disappeared. And I was like, what the hell was this?
Dude, I'm having the same. You unlocked a memory I had before. There was a yoga teacher I met in LA. Brought her back to my place. We didn't even have sex, yeah. But what she gave me was like even more mind-blowing. So we meditated, and then she did this thing where she looked in my eye, and she's like, just look at my left eye. And she was like, she described it as she becomes a portal to like,
wow,
to like meditation or some kind of like spiritual realm. And when I was looking at her, I started hallucinating like I've hallucinated on mushrooms. Have you done mushrooms before?
I did.
So you know like when sometimes you look at someone's face, it looks like a light's going around, yeah, it and this type of thing, and they like kind of blend with everything. That's how it looked when I was looking at her. It was very bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird experiences that you can have in this life that don't fit like what you think is possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think when you have these experiences, they go beyond sex. I mean, that goes beyond sleeping with a girl. That's much, much more. What I teach my students is to go for those experiences, to go for the experiences that are worth telling 20 years from now, having the greatest life adventures, traveling the world, meeting people, expanding your social circle, adding amazing human beings to your life, and living the life that all dreams about. Not only about meeting beautiful women and sleeping with them.
Yeah, there's so many people that get into, they almost run it like they're some kind of entrepreneur or something. They're like, I need to fill this spreadsheet with all my lays as quickly as possible. And it's like they can't even have sex with a girl again because they just want to get their lay count higher.
Yeah,
which to me is, that's basically gay.
Absolutely. And that's so masculine on, I mean, we all have this masculine and feminine energy. And I think the dating, I mean, when you become really, really, really successful with women, it's because you actually develop also your feminine part, your feminine energy. And that helps you to communicate with them and to actually get very far with them and actually meet beautiful women. But sometimes when we have this lay count and have to sleep with 10 girls a month, that's crazy. I mean, that's not
it. Also robs them of the experience of, like, sex for me is like much better the more you have it with that same person, because you know what their likes are, their dislikes are, you've gone over the awkward phase, yeah, they communicated what they want and you can, yes, communicate what you want. So I don't know.
Yeah, this life we chose is a great life. It's the greatest life. Might not be the easiest at first, for sure it's the most difficult path. But once you go there, once you're aligned with this purpose of becoming the guy you're proud of, mm-hmm, it's so good.
Yeah, and I like to think about it like my friend David, who's, mm-hmm, been on the podcast before, okay, he has this idea of like the good old days. And I kind of think a bit about it like he says, like, why couldn't today be the good old days? Why can't you create a new experience, a new thing that you're going to look back on every week, every month? And that's one thing I look back on. I think like when I look back on the past 3 months of my life or 6 months or a year,
yes,
am I going to be like 80 years old looking back on this going, thank God I did that. Thank God. Look at the person I was back then.
Yeah.
Like I was experiencing new things. I was living in new places. I was pushing my comfort zone. I was learning a new language, for example. And yeah, you should constantly ask yourself that, because if it's not like, dude, you've probably had some periods like this. You look back on a month and you're like, what did I actually do? You may be just doing stuff on the computer or whatever. It doesn't feel rewarding. Kind of makes me think about this. Like Tim Ferriss,
yeah.
He's worked on some big launches for like online stuff, for example, or like his books and things like this. But he said, for example, building something with his hands or helping out at like a youth center or volunteering, these things have given him a lot more feeling of fulfillment than doing a $10 million launch, yeah, where he just sees another number in his bank account, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just getting more involved with the real world is good too, since now we're literally entering an age where you could just distance yourself from everything and
absolutely
just become, you could literally, the what's his name? Milton Friedman's son. God, what is his name? David D. Friedman. He has this book called Future Imperfect, and he basically says like you could be sitting in like a coffin and you're just getting fed like nutrients, soylent into your body and just being able to live. And just in your mind, you're like in this virtual reality world, wow, where you're, you know, tasting the most delicious food and like having sex with the most beautiful girls. And like, there's still some challenge to it, like a video game, but you're essentially disconnected from the real world.
Wow.
And he kind of looks at this way where you can, there's going to be the people who live in nature,
yeah,
and then the people who live just like in this artificial world.
I think in this life, we chose this, our life, we get to experience that in this reality. Meet the most beautiful girls, wow, go to the most amazing place, try the best food in the world, and at the same time grow and enjoy those obstacles that come along the way.
But you and I understand that, but a lot of people who are listening or watching, they have so, and it's usually the blocks they have are not even put there by themselves, right?
Yeah,
it's their parents that said, you're a piece of shit, you're not going to accomplish anything, this is your life, this is what you have to do, you have to do this because I told you so. And they're just conditioned in this way, either by that or by society, because this civilization is not normal.
Absolutely not.
It is very dysfunctional. It's very weird. And we have not evolved to the point where this is normal for us.
Yeah.
We evolve very slowly. And there's a great book I'm reading. I recommend everyone read it. It's by the guy who wrote Sex at Dawn.
Oh.
It's called Civilized to Death.
Nice.
And basically, he breaks down like every category, you would be better off living in a hunter-gatherer existence.
Wow.
So what, and like, that's, give me the counter arguments. You probably know some of them, right?
Well, like, about society, I think the system we live in, it's a very sick system. For sure it is. And it gets sicker by the day. It's a system that has a goal of having zombies. Cities have zombies and not inhabitants. Everybody goes to jobs they really hate. They study careers they don't like at all. Mm-hmm. They work for a little wage. They get on credits to pay material things that will fulfill them for a few minutes and make them also, and make them say, oh, at least I worked for a month. Yeah, I just worked for a month, but I got my new TV with Netflix, whatever. And then they get all these gadgets that what actually do, they distract them from getting moments where they can look inside of themselves. So whenever they feel anxious, just get the phone. Yeah. And they go compulsively in Instagram or Facebook. It's a system designed for you not to think, not to judge the system.
And people don't realize this, but you should be bored at some times.
Yes.
It's good to experience boredom and just like look into the distance or to like just be somewhere and just be in yourself. And that it's those moments that actually give you pause and like, you know, there's some moments in my life where I look back, like when I first discovered meditation, I think it was 2 weeks in,
yeah,
I sat on a park bench and I just looked, and that it was like fall in Toronto.
Nice.
And that was like one of the best moments of my life. And I was just sitting down.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, for me, it really helped me doing yoga for sure. Meditation, absolutely. Eating more healthy. I lost like
another example about like the society we live in. It's almost as if you're like, you think about this toxic wasteland and then you're just dropped into it. And it's like, figure it out for yourself how to eat healthy.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, it doesn't even have to be a supermarket. They have sugar, like sugar and like vegetable oil and just like salt, sugar, fat, like everywhere, always everywhere. In an arm's reach.
Everywhere. I've been, so as I told you off the camera, I'm going to do ayahuasca tomorrow in the Peruvian jungle. And for the last few days, I had to do the diet, which includes no sugar at all, no fat at all. So when I go to the supermarket, it's so hard to find something that has no sugar and no fat. It's insane. It's totally insane. And when I told people this diet I'm following, they were like, how the hell are you going to survive? And I'm like, how the hell do you survive eating like McDonald's every day? Yeah, I mean, people in Colombia do a lot of McDonald's, especially here.
Yeah. What else were we talking about? I wanted to talk about
healthy food.
Healthy food, yeah. I think you and I probably have different opinions on healthy food. Because you're fully vegan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
how long have you been vegan?
So I've been vegan for a number of years. I went vegetarian 4 years ago, but slowly transitioned, and I think a little over 2 years.
So I'm basically the opposite of most vegans in that I've been vegetarian or vegan since I was three.
Okay, wow.
So when I was three, like I had a bunch of problems with, I got like ear infections and all these kind of problems, medical problems, and my mom took me off of dairy and meat, and all those problems went away.
Wow.
Problem is, I ate like very processed kind of like, you know, like those patties and stuff, and like it's like corn dogs, but they're veggie corn dogs, like this type of stuff that I grew up on. And then I switched when I was 18, and I think I ate turkey for Christmas or something, and I kind of had the idea. I was like, if I want to live, because I'm like you, I want to live the most exciting, adventurous, interesting life. You can't experience all the cuisines of the world if you're not eating that way. But I'm like super, super conscious of what I put in my body. I don't eat meat that comes from, like the place I eat meat from now, I visited the farms. So for example, Kalanta beef here and the dairy. Okay. I've went to Belmiro, which is like, it's actually, have you heard of Paramo? It's like
Paramo, yeah.
It's there basically. And yeah, the cows there live better lives than the people here in the city live.
Wow.
Beautiful water. It looks like the Shire. The grass is very green and all this stuff. And yeah, so I'm conscious about that, but I still eat meat. And yeah.
I mean, in my case, I went vegan for the animals. I went vegan for the planet. Oh. I mean, when I started to travel, I felt that traveling gave me so many amazing experiences. And then when I realized the impact that the meat industry has on this planet, I was like, I cannot do this. It's like this planet is giving me so much, I cannot pay back in this way. So in that moment, I never ate meat again, and it changed me. It was probably the best decision I took in my life. It changed me in so many ways, and I don't think I would never go back to meat.
I understand. And dude, when I was vegan and vegetarian, I had, what happens is it gets your disgust mechanism going. So it's literally repulsive when you think about meat. It's just like a dead.
Yeah.
As Kevin used to say, he used to go, corpses.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like
you have
literally
a corpse there. Which, I guess that's a negative connotation, but it is a dead animal there.
Yeah. And Kevin went vegan, I think, right? He's vegan still, I think.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I've also had friends who go vegan, but then they switch back. So do you know Mo Abassi? He's another dating coach. Is my buddy from Toronto. He went vegan for 3 years, and then he developed an issue, and he went back to But now he's like me. He's kind of like paleo, so he eats very
paleo. Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. Paleo's cool.
What else am I gonna say? I don't know.
Yeah,
wanted to talk about Argentina. So you're from Argentina. I've been there, dude. Best food I've had in my life.
Yeah.
I've been to Italy. I've been to France. Italy and France are both amazing.
Yeah, of course.
Like literally every place you go to is like the people care about food. And it's almost like any place that has a lot of French or Italian immigrants, the food is amazing.
Absolutely.
So yeah, Buenos Aires is awesome. Oh, you're originally from Cordoba?
From Cordoba. I was born in this beautiful city. This is a city where people smile on the streets. People like to dance. People like to just to be happy, you know. Although
people are open.
Very open. Extremely open. We have like one of the oldest universities in the American continent. It's mind-blowing. People from all over the world come to study in Cordoba. It's a great place to go out. It's a great place to meet people. A great place to live. But then I chose to go to Buenos Aires because, you know, big city.
Bigger city, you're growing, boy.
Yeah, so I just went there, and I'm still in love. I feel I'm a citizen of Buenos Aires, but no, I wasn't born there. But oh man, when it comes to dating, you have so many options. It's totally insane.
This brings up a topic. Isn't it interesting how you, me, dude, a lot of my friends who are exceptionally good with girls, they are very, very health conscious, very conscious about their sleep, their diet, their nutrition, getting sunlight, getting exercise, what type of exercise, air quality, all these types of things. But they all live in cities because that's where the girls are.
Exactly.
Like literally everything about your life would be better if you lived in, let's say, Montana or, you know, in some
Patagonia.
Place in Patagonia, for example. Yeah. Except the fact there's no fucking girls out
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
This is the
there.
Biggest conundrum of life.
There's no people there.
What I've thought about doing is taking like every month or every 2 months, just going on like a 1 week backpacking trip in the middle of fucking nowhere and just reset your... No phones, no, what are those called? FR, what is that? EM, what's a radiation? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's radiation.
So like from the cell phones and the towers and the Wi-Fi, and you're just being cooked in that all day long, which for some people, they can't live next to any cell signal because their bodies are very sensitive to that. That's not me, but I'm pretty sure it has still an effect.
A little over 2 years now, I started to develop this romance with Asia. So I started to go to Asia a lot, especially China, Korea, Thailand. And oh my God, these people, I mean, I love Asia. I had so much to learn from these people. But the younger generation, they live on their phones, you know. They would just go with their friends to the cafe and friends wouldn't talk, you know. Or couples. Once I saw this situation that blew my mind, but then I saw it many other times, which is a beautiful girl and a really handsome guy sitting in front of each other, but they don't talk. They're just a couple, but they're on their phones. That blows my mind. How sick this society, how sick this society got from all these gadgets that were just being posted a few years back.
And it's interesting. Always look at what you're using and how the CEOs and the people who run that company treat their children. So for example, I forget what this guy's name is. He's an Indian guy who is like one of the first members of Facebook, and he's an integral part of it. Right. He's a billionaire. He doesn't let his children have cell phones.
Wow.
And it's funny, the person who helped create Facebook doesn't let his children go on Facebook or even use cell phones. He told them, if you have money, you can buy your own cell phone. Right?
That's perfect, actually.
Same thing with the people who do the food and beverage companies. There's a book called Salt, Sugar, Fat, How the Food Giants Hooked Us. None of them drink the things that they produce, nor let their children drink it. So that should tell you something.
It's totally poison. It's like you see that and you get disgusted. Like,
veneno.
Yeah, it's veneno, absolutely. Veneno is Spanish for poison.
We speak in Spanish for the next 6 minutes, so scroll ahead to 2920 in this podcast to listen again in English. Vamos a hablar en español por un ratico, por ellos.
Por los que en español.
Sí. Entonces, tu español es un poco diferente porque eres de...
De Argentina.
Argentina. Y tú dices, yo, yo, yo.
Es una forma dialectal que se llama español o rioplatense, que se habla en lo que es el centro de Argentina, la zona de la Patagonia y el Uruguay. Es la misma forma. Altamente influenciado por algo que se llama lunfardo, que es una especie de argot, casi dialecto, que se creó con la masiva inmigración europea del siglo XIX. Hacemos uso de muchas palabras prestadas de otros idiomas, especialmente del italiano. Entonces, por eso que es un poco distinto, y el sh viene de un problema de pronunciación que tenían los italianos en el español, que lo adaptamos nosotros.
Voy a apagar y... Listo, listo. Ok.
So, yeah.
Entonces, ¿cómo si quiero aprender como idiomas de game en español? Hay muchas palabras de inglés como game, seducción, pickup. ¿Se dice pickup?
Hay gente que está involucrada en la comunidad de seducción y utiliza ciertos anglicismos, palabras en inglés, para definir ciertas cosas. Pero yo lo encuentro un poco bobo. Yo creo que uno debe enriquecer su propio idioma y debe utilizar. Yo encuentro muy interesante, muy importante el hecho de cultivarnos, de leer más y de ampliar nuestro léxico. Porque cuando amplias tu léxico, tenés mejores formas de expresarte cuando estás frente a una mujer o a un grupo de personas.
Más preciso.
Mucho más preciso. Ampliar tu léxico, a tener más palabras, saber cómo expresarte mejor. Eso creo que es una de las claves para que mucha gente que está metida en la comunidad de seducción tenga más éxito.
Dime un opener en español que tú usas mucho.
¿Sabes que la verdad?
O tú estás... Pienso que tú en la calle tú estás así, es como presente y... Yo miro algo de ella. Voy a decirte. Voy a decirla.
Yo tengo la filosofía de constantemente tratar de que la gente se sienta bien. Tratar de entregar amor con mis palabras. Entregar lo mejor de mi persona con mis palabras. Entonces trato que cuando hablo con una mujer, darle lo mejor de mí. Y tratar de que se sienta bien, primero de todo, con lo que le vaya a decir. Y lo que tenga que pasar luego, si es que el universo lo quiere, que suceda. Pero manejarme más por la energía que por la técnica.
Exacto. Es como tú puedes tener técnicamente perfecta todo en tus palabras, en tus... Así, pero si el vibe, el vibra, la vibra. Si la vibra está malo, técnica no importa.
No importa.
Sí.
Es muy importante porque, de nuevo, muchos hombres o muchos de mis estudiantes piensan, ah, si yo hago esto más esto, el resultado es este. Eso no aplica. Mentalidad de hombres. Eso no aplica. Cuando se trata de seducción o de mujeres es un arte. El arte no tiene forma. Uno más uno puede ser 10 o puede ser 5 o puede ser 8. No es uno más uno, 2. 1 más 1, 20. Y eso pasa. Eso es algo que tenemos que entender como hombres.
Y pienso que la mentalidad que yo uso es. Igual a ti, es como: voy a dar una experiencia muy buena a esta chica. Es como la mejor en ventas, la mejor en seducción. Es primero, voy a tratar a esta persona la mejor que es posible y el resultado es cierto que voy a tener sexo porque ella está cómoda conmigo, ella está teniendo un buen tiempo, tiempo y todo va a estar bien, va a ser bien.
Exacto. Es como hablábamos hace un rato con el tema de el sexo, que nos interesa tanto el sexo, lo ponemos en un altar. Yo me acuerdo que Kevin, nuestro amigo en común, había hecho un video hace como 5 años donde él hablaba de eso, poner el sexo en un altar y denigrarnos a nosotros como personas por obtener la posibilidad de acostarnos con una mujer. Hay mucho más allá del sexo y creo que cuando un hombre, en el caso nuestro, en el caso de los muchachos que están acá escuchando, ponen tanto de sí mismos, en vez de estar tonteando en videos de YouTube sobre videojuegos, están mirándonos a nosotros hablar de estos temas, creo que los hace tan valiosos que ¿por qué te vas a denigrar por sexo? La chica que se acueste con vos es una afortunada, porque vos tenés mucho para ofrecer.
Listo. Listo, pues. ¿Tú sabes las palabras de Colombia? Listo, pues, parce, sí, hágale.
Hágale, pues.
Sí.
Sí, viva Colombia.
Es una chimba.
Colombia. Sí. Viva Colombia. Colombia es un gran país. Es un gran país. País hermano.
Listo, ok. Vamos a cambiar nuestros paquetes de idiomas a inglés.
Vamos
otra
a
vez.
Inglés, no.
Ok. I'll put subtitles too. That'll be so people can keep listening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, your language is a big passion of yours, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. Because actually, once I read this quote by Nelson Mandela, he said that if you talk to a person in a neutral language, you get to their mind, to their head.
Yeah.
but if you talk to their language, you get to the heart.
Correct.
And then I was like, if I want to travel and I want to connect with people and with women in other countries to understand how dating works in different cultures, I need to learn more languages. So up until I was 18, I couldn't speak any other language that wasn't Spanish. So I went into English and then went into German, and then I was, this was pretty easy. Let's try with Portuguese. I go to Brazil for a while. I went to Germany to learn German, and it's been crazy. And then I decided I want to learn Arabic. Lately, I was telling you, so I went to Morocco, to Qatar, and for Asia with Chinese in China. I mean, it's magical how different it is when they speak their own language.
And he's literally described one of the perfect ways to learn is go to the place. You're forced to learn.
Yes.
Like, it's the same thing, like if someone takes one of our immersions or boot camps, yes, you're forced to approach. There's no excuses.
There's no excuses.
You have to approach. You have to go through the exercise. You have to do what you're told. And yeah, it's the same thing. There's also the overlap of game and learning a language is so good.
Yeah.
I remember I went to Paris. This is my first trip solo when I was like 19 or something. Yeah. And one of the guys I was gaming with was a English to French translator. And he told me, I was like, what's the best way to learn a new language? He goes, pillow talk. And I was like, what? He's like, oh, pillow talk.
Pillow talk.
So like if you're dating a girl and you're talking to her all the time, you learn so quickly. And she's going to want to help you as well.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and also if you're messaging dates and stuff, you have to translate, and you eventually just get it.
Yeah. I mean, you need it, and for us, man, I mean, dating. I mean, we're so interested in that we learn, we push ourselves to learn.
Dude, my friend Casey, he's so blunt. Like you describe things in a very beautiful, ornate way. My friend Casey, he just goes, I'm like, why do you think most people learn a different language? He goes, for sex.
For sex. Yeah, which is true.
Yeah. Which and it's so also true. The most impressive thing. Like, for example, let's say you go to America right now.
Yeah.
You meet a group of three girls, one German, one's from Spain, one's from Arabia Saudita.
Ooh.
You could literally, the most impressing thing that you could do is just show them that you know how to speak their language.
It's
nothing powerful. Blows people's minds more than that. Like, you meet someone from China, you're like, Waini.
Yeah, it's really powerful, and I discovered the power of knowing languages when you travel. Like, people get totally mind blown, you know, especially when you don't brag about it. Just you're just exactly. There talking and just hanging out, and this person comes and you happen to speak their language, and they're like, what the hell is
that? It's the same with everything. You don't want to go out of your way to show them, look how amazing I am. But you want them to almost discover that about you. It's the same thing with having a cool car. If you actually, there's a site called Photo Feeler, and if you post a picture of you in a Lamborghini, it'll get lower scores than any other photo you have because it's too try hard and you're going out of your way to show.
Totally.
So what is it? Communicate that you're actually low value or you don't think that you're that awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
If the girl finds, if you just take her on a date and then you're like, oh yeah, okay, let's go, and then you pull up in your Porsche, then yes, that's a bonus.
Yeah, like actually I have people close to me, like friends close to me, and they're like multimillionaires and they drive Hyundai, you know, these Japanese cars, you know, and this guy's kind of for a Ferrari, but they chose to just drive a average car. And to one of them, I asked him why, and he says, because I don't want to get disattached from people. And that's a beautiful thing. I don't want to. He lives in a normal apartment.
Because a lot of the time, people who get rich, they use their wealth to buy isolation, which actually makes them more unhappy.
Exactly.
And that's in Poblado. This is a great example.
Yeah.
Most other places of the city are beautiful. They have bike paths, they have walking places. Here, it's buildings and cars.
Yeah.
And the rich people, they drive in a car so they don't have to go take the public transportation. They don't have to walk on the street, see anyone. Just take their car and then they go drive into their private house.
Yes.
But when people are the happiest or when they're actually interacting, and you look at a place like the Netherlands, have you ever been to Amsterdam?
Yeah.
People are biking. They talk to other people when they're on the bike. They stop. They say hello. They're making jokes. There's life. And you don't really get that. That's another thing I hate. I think this is the thing I hate most is – that a lot of societies are built around cars.
Yeah.
That makes me, literally, I feel anger. Maybe I need to control this, but it's like, it doesn't make sense. You're destroying the street at a more rapid rate. I'm like very German. I don't know if you could tell, but yeah. I'm like very, this is very inefficient. This
very
is
German.
And cars are expensive. Someone could use that. You know, the average car costs you about $8,000 a year in maintenance, gasoline, driving it, depreciation, the car itself. You're $8,000 a year. Imagine what you can invest in.
A lot.
You could take both of our programs.
Yeah.
You could afford to travel to Asia or to Europe and actually learn. You can invest in your business. There's so many things you could buy with that. And if you're on a bike or a scooter or walking, you're getting exercise, you're getting sunlight. You're having conversation, you're having, and I realized the only thing that makes a civilization like this livable is human contact.
Oh yeah, yes.
Because the most important thing for your health and your well-being is your social interaction.
Absolutely.
You could be eating shitty food. You see people, they eat shitty food, but they have close friends and they have an enjoyable, fulfilling life because of that.
Yeah.
So
and here in Colombia, you see that.
People and that's a lesson for anyone because that's what we teach is basically you need to cultivate the ability to go out, meet people, to work on yourself socially that people want to be around you, decrease your negative social quirks so that people like you and they want to be around you.
Yeah.
And you can connect with people who you are meant to connect with.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like probably that's one of the reasons I like Buenos Aires or New York, London, Berlin so much, because you don't really need a car. Just can get around by walking around. And if you expose yourself to the metro, it's full of women in there. It's full of women. If you go on the bus, it's full of women there.
But how do I approach on the metro though, Gerardo? How do I do it? There's people watching though, dude.
It's like when you're going to be next to the girl and she's going to be naked, lying next to you in bed, you will not care what people think about you. Trust me.
That is so true.
Trust me.
It's like when she's kissing on you, loving you. Dude, for example, one hang up that a lot of people in game will have is like, oh, well, what if people start looking at me? Like, what if my friends start judging me? And also for dating coaches, I remember it's like, what if I approach in front of my students and I get rejected?
Oh, yeah.
And eventually you just have to let go of that and be like, some people like me, some people don't like me. It's completely fine. Everyone, you know, maybe you'll have an embarrassing moment. 5 minutes later, it passes. And you know what? You'll be more proud of the fact that you took that action than otherwise.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of my big philosophies is just desensitization. Is like, you don't have to jump to an extreme thing, like throwing yourself in 20 people looking at you. You could start by saying hello to old ladies.
Yeah.
Like your start, my start have probably both been embarrassing. The first approach I ever did was a girl in the rain. And I asked Barack Obama if we could get together later. And he said, yes, we can. Cause that was his slogan. And she goes, ha ha ha, thanks. And then I just like left and I like ran away. My heart was beating and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like it was exciting, but it's not like I didn't pull her. I didn't kiss her, you know? You have to have those private victories before public victories, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In my case, what helped me the most to have the guts, the courage to do it, was to build a cool life. That whenever I see a beautiful girl or a girl surrounded by beautiful women that or a mixed group, you know, where there are guys, you know, and we get all scared. Whenever that happens, I'm like, I might be the most interesting guy these people would meet in a long while. So let's make it happen. And I just do it. And most of the time it's like that because people don't dream so much lately. Or they dream, but they don't take those dreams into reality.
I want to touch on that. So like a lot of guys, it's mostly guys, they think that women are attracted mostly to kind of like shininess, like status symbol, wealth, position of power, XYZ, these types of things, which sure, women are attracted to different frequency or different levels, right? But ultimately, they will not want to be with a guy long term if they do not connect with that guy on a deep, like social, emotional, spiritual level.
Yes.
Absolutely. So unless you can connect in that way, it doesn't matter the fact that you have a fucking Mercedes and you're trying to show off, right? the other thing. Oh, so my girlfriend. Yes. My girlfriend's mostly bisexual. She's probably like 60 to 70% lesbian. All She's right. mostly lesbian.
Yes.
So she's had boyfriends in the past who she basically just used for money. And then who she actually connected with was a girl. And she'd go have crazy hot sex with a girl and just enjoy hanging out with her and get her emotional connection that way. But with the guy, she was basically like just there as his like plaything almost. And she's had guys like that. And then she's hooked up with guys who are good in bed, but they don't have like... their finances right, they're kind of out of it, they're yeah. she's not someone that she can really connect with. So she really was looking for someone she could connect with on a deep spiritual level, yeah. who could also be a provider and who also fucked her well. And for me, she's like, you are all three.
Yeah.
So but the first criteria, I think, is like for a woman to not cheat on you, for a woman to be happy with you, to be excited to see you, to treat you well, to go out of her way to show, like cook for you and show you her femininity, she has to connect with you.
Yes.
And I wanted to get your take on that because you're very like in the presence of the universe vibes.
I think that's totally accurate. When we're talking about the Mercedes, I mean, here in Poblado, everybody has an expensive car. If you have money in a place like here, Medellin, Colombia, you're just one guy more with a lot of money. So much money in the city. And this happens mostly in every major city in the world. What's going to make you special is that if you have the skill, the ability to stimulate her emotions, to make her feel something intense, that's your true power. That's where our true power lies, the guys that we chose this life. That's our power, the power of emotional stimulation, the power to offer experiences. We are guys who offer experiences. That's it.
I used to have this mindset, it was like, I wanted to give every girl an indie romance style Ole, movie, yes. but in real life.
Yes.
I want to take her to like, dude, for example, back in West Virginia, I take them to like this cool lookout spot. I'd put like a blanket down. We have picnics and stuff. I try to like, you know, make things like an adventure almost for them.
Yeah.
And it's also like you tend to lose some of that as you get better at game, because oftentimes you just fall into a routine. Like there are people who go to the same date location, the same restaurant, then they take them home and then they close and then that's it.
Yeah.
Which is okay, sure. But if you're like, I think you and I have a similar mindset. You're more of like an explorer type, right?
Yeah.
You want to have those rich, deep experiences. You don't want to look back on the past 2 years and just see a blur of the same thing over.
Oh, never, never. Every day has to be an adventure somewhere. You learn something, do something. But you never know which day is going to be the last, actually. So why not?
Yeah. Coronavirus is going to get
us. Coronavirus coming here very soon.
Only got 1 month to live. Dude, that is... I watched a thing on pandemics. A lot of humanity has been wiped out by pandemics. So even though people are saying it's an overreaction, it's good to have these times where we prep to know in the future if there's something even more deadly. Like, for example, bubonic plague wiped out like half of Europe. Or the Black Death, sorry.
The Black Death.
It was bubonic the same, plague. Yeah. The Spanish flu killed more people after World War One than World War One itself. Like... I don't know.
Well, here in the Americas, 80 million people died because of the contact with the Spanish conquerors.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Are you mixed at all, or are you just mostly Italian and Spanish? Did you ever do a DNA thing? Or
I'm a mix of European ancestries. Absolutely. Okay. But okay.
Mapuche?
No, not at all. Like,
what's the native people in Argentina? Is that Mapuche?
We have... not sure about the number of nations in Argentina, but... I would say, I mean, in the north there's quite a lot of indigenous people, but we don't have in the United States it's different. The people have more rights than the natives. They get to live in the reserves. In Argentina we have kind of like that, but their rights are kind of not respected. Mm-hmm. I mix at all.
I think I'm mostly European, although my DNA thing says it was 100%. Now I'm like 99.5 or something. Who knows? Yeah. Everything gets squirrely every now and then, you know. Your ancestors fucking around across borders.
Of course, of course, of course. But I feel so close to the people of this continent, for the native American people. these people are so full of wise, you know. It's I had a chance in Ecuador to meet several tribes, and these people were so full of wisdom, and then I thought, what do we know about civilization if these people is much more advanced?
Did you met like native tribes here that live like...
I met in Ecuador, not in Colombia.
Uh-huh.
And they were amazing human beings. Totally amazing human beings.
I'm going to check one second. All right. So yeah, we were talking about native tribes in Ecuador. Yeah. That's literally on my bucket list for this year. I want to go to Amazonas here in Colombia and literally meet a native tribe, because one interesting thing is that those people have passed down knowledge of living in an environment. They are literally evolved to live in the environment that they inhabit. Unlike me, like, dude, I've got these moles all over my body because my parents decided moving to the tropical place of Florida was smart. You know, my genes are like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, I'm meant to be at a higher latitude. But yeah, these people are meant to live in that society. They know the plants. They know how to use them. They know how to hunt. They know how to gather. They know all these uses and medicinal uses for things. And dude, it's so fascinating because you and I don't know shit about living in nature.
Exactly.
We literally don't. I've been camping and stuff. But if you left me out there, would I be able to figure out which plants I can use for making food? Or, you know, what if I get a fucking laceration in my arm? How am I gonna heal that?
Exactly.
Or let's say hunting. I don't know how to hunt. What if I'm stuck out there without a bow, without an arrow, without a gun? How am I gonna fucking hunt? How am I gonna, what berries are gonna kill me?
That's crazy. You know what, the brother of one of my closest friends, Christian, he's a commando in the Air Force of Argentina. So Christian told me that his brother, when he saw my friend approaching women on the streets, he told him, I would prefer to do the commando training all over again, which includes to be abandoned on the forest, naked for days, starving and freezing, before doing what you just did, which is talking to a girl on the streets. How crazy is that?
It is crazy, but it makes sense, because those people in that tribe, everyone they know has been part of their social circle for life.
Yeah.
So when you would have a tribe of 100 to 150 people, whatever, the girls that you would fuck, you would know about, whether your tribe is, you know, polyamorous or polygamous or monogamous, whatever, you would have known that person your whole life. So there's not this anxiety, isn't as intense. Sure, there's probably some anxiety when you're like first kissing her or making a move or something, but it's probably very normal. Whereas in society, I always say game is semi-natural. You are not meant to approach strangers. It's just not meant. You're not evolved to do that. That's why it's so scary. That's why, dude, I've had soldiers are actually great students of mine, because they follow orders even when they're, you know, they've the pressure, but they'll tell you, yeah, like you said, I would prefer to do like boot camp training again than to do this.
Absolutely.
But the same elements of persuasion and seduction are the same throughout, you know, human history, even probably before humans were humans. Yeah. It was probably the same type of thing.
Absolutely.
Getting in close, like seeing how you can tell from people's eyes, how they respond, their body language, their breathing, like their voice.
Yes.
You could tell those signs. And even you can communicate with animals that way too.
It's amazing,
my girlfriend, like, literally, she has this weird connection with animals. We were in the Andes. She's like, we found these wild donkeys, and they have like thick coats because they're up there in the mountains. And she basically, like, I couldn't get close to them, but she like knew how to talk and like just seduce her way into to feeding them apples.
That's impressive.
But doesn't it say to the oneness of everything that you can communicate with yourself, other people, animals, and then when you take psychedelics, you're communicating with like plants and stuff. It's weird.
That's crazy. Well, I had these mushrooms in the Amazons here in Colombia a few years back, and it was the first time in my life when I noticed that Earth was alive. Like, you feel Earth breathing, and that's incredible. And I don't think it's an effect of the drug. It's like you are so aware of what's around you, you know, in such a majestic and beautiful place full of life. You really realize that you're alive, and this awesome world's also alive.
I recommend anyone, if you feel stuck, depressed, anxious, in a rut, kind of dull, like done with life, go on a 1 day hike. Find the most beautiful place by you. Just go on a hike and you will experience a moment of awe. And I'm even getting like goosebumps talking about it. But
of course,
you see how vast and beautiful the earth is. Like, it doesn't even matter where you are. And that's, to be honest, that's my favorite part about traveling, is seeing the different landscape that the city is situated in and exploring around there. Because no place on earth is the same.
Not at all. Every
single place you go to looks different. But when you go to Poblado,
oh yeah,
dude, you walk down there, it looks like you're in America, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the malls and stuff.
The malls and the rich people walking around. It's crazy here. And the phones, of course. Yeah, it's crazy. Next time I come to Colombia, I'm not staying in Poblado, for sure.
And so I think, and that's one of my, sorry if I'm ranting too much. Tell me if I'm talking too much.
No, okay, please, man.
So there's the downsides of living in nature, which is, let's say if you break your leg, you can't, there's very few things that you can do to like fix it very properly. If I like break, like I broke my metatarsal, I've got a laceration here, I probably would have died from. Thank you, modern medicine, for that. Well, modern medicine isn't good for, or sorry, what civilization isn't good for, is that it usually creates diseases that it pats itself on the back for curing.
Yeah.
A lot of cancer, diabetes, heart disease. When they're like helping people treat these things, people say like, well, thank God that we live in civilization for this. But that civilization is what has caused that.
Exactly.
So civilization it's like, created it's so that. Bizarre.
It's insane. It's sort of crazy. What really blew my mind the first time I went to China, I went to southern China. I haven't been to north of Wuhan where the coronavirus come from. I've been always in the south. That one day I couldn't sleep for like the jet lag. I was like 2 weeks without sleeping. So I go to the pharmacy. I was like, okay, I'm tired. I'm going to get a pill. I will sleep. I go to the pharmacy, and the pharmacy, they don't sell drugs. They sell plants. And that totally blew my mind away. They sell plants. Oh, you can sleep? Okay, take this plant, make a tea with this plant, and you'll be good.
Did it work?
Oh, yes. How crazy is that? So that's why I love Asia so much. And you know what? It's like for the migration of the people thousands of years ago, over 25,000 years ago, the Native Americans came from Asia. So somehow they're connected. And I feel all the wisdom that the Native Americans have and the Asians is shared in some moment.
Yeah, they're more collectivists in a way. They're more like...
Yeah.
And there's pros and cons of that too. It's like literally everything I think is half-truths or it's a balance, right? You should be balanced.
Yes.
And so like, for example, the Western mentality, I'm my own boss, I'm crushing the world, I'm dominating, it's all about me, this type of thing.
Yeah.
Independence, you know, get out there, explore, this type of thing, which is great, but too much of that is not.
Yeah.
And then exactly with Asia, it's like, and here in Colombia, the importance of the family and the social group and the culture and like the oneness of people, it's a very big thing as well.
Oh, I love that about Colombia. I really admire that about Colombia. The first time I came here, it blew my mind. It's crazy in South America or the Americas in general. We're all so close, but at the same time, we're so different. And when I came here, I couldn't understand why people would spend whole Sunday at home with their parents, you know, where they could be exploring the city or the religious stuff, you know, like for Christmas, you know, they have novenas, which is like they pray for 9 days before Christmas, and they it's totally mind blowing.
Hey man.
Good.
So sorry. You going to a date now? Yeah. Alright.
Alright.
Say something with the podcast.
Good luck to all the guys out there. This guy, best coach in the world. I have a date with the beautiful Colombian girl right now. I met today at yoga, thanks to him. So, you know, definitely believe in everything and the purpose and yourself. And, you know, you can definitely achieve any goals you want. So, thank you.
Disfruta.
Disfruta. He's from Miami like you.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, man. See you. Enjoy.
What were we even talking about?
I don't know.
Asia.
Oh, about the Colombians' religiousness.
Ah, yeah. It's so funny. Like, the older I get, because when I was young, I just thought, like, this is the best. Like, whenever I have an idea, I'm like, I'd only see the upside, right? You have that, like, delusional optimism of youth. Yeah. And you just think that, like, for example, for me traveling, I traveled too much.
Yeah.
I got burnt out. I didn't realize the possible downsides of traveling. Jet lag.
Oh, yeah.
Sleep getting messed up. Especially, it takes you about a week to just get into the rhythm of, like, sleeping in a new place.
Yeah.
Even if you're in the same time zone. And then for time zones, like, an hour per day per time zone that you have to, like, change. Or, I don't know. Yeah, something like this.
It totally messes you up. Like, when I came to Colombia, it's only 2 hours from Argentina time difference. And for the last, for first few days, I couldn't sleep at all. Mm. Only for 2 hours. And then when told 12 hours, 8 hours. That's crazy.
I much prefer slow traveling where you like at least 2 weeks in a place, preferably more. And then you can pick up the, like you've done, pick up the language, pick up the culture. And also if you don't like the place, just feel free to leave. But
absolutely. But I mean, many guys I know, they go on trips. Oh, I'm going to go to Ukraine to meet Ukrainian girls. Okay, for how long? 10 days. That's not enough, man.
Dude, that's the worst. Like, I'm going for a weekend. It's like, do you understand that, like, not every girl can meet up right then and there?
Exactly.
It's like dating is much better when you have it, like, a couple months to spend in a place or more. And that way you can get, a rotation of girls that you really enjoy, that you can spend time with, going on different adventures.
Yes.
And to be honest, that's the best way to explore a place is when you have, like, a little travel buddy that's teaching you the language.
Absolutely.
And giving you the little ins and outs of a place.
Absolutely. It's amazing. I always recommend at least 3 weeks in the country, at least, and from then. So 2 months, a month, 3 months, 6 months, and then you learn the culture, you learn the language, and you are just, when you leave the country, you are a bigger you. You know more, you can communicate better, and that will help you forever, because this being cultured as well, it also helps you to develop in a much better way in any different social situation, you know, with a bunch of people, and you can talk about every single topic. How amazing is that? How attractive is this? A lot of women here in Colombia, a lot of women complain. They say, oh, Colombian guys, they're awesome because they know how to dance. But many times when you go on to have a drink with them after you dance, they have nothing to say. And women want guys cultured. They have something to say when the time to sit down comes.
Yeah, and you were talking about how cultivate an interesting life. Like that, honestly, for Instagram too, that's the easiest thing. Just like show what you're doing on your life. That's a Gary Vee mindset. It's not, you don't want to create content. You just want to document your life. Document what you're doing. And if you're living in alignment with the type of guy that you know you want to be, that's going to attract the type of girl that you want, then it's all good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This world of dating, when you enter in this life of ours, you really, really change in so many ways, and you are led to so many new paths that you never thought about before. It's like it's so unpredictable, this life, but it's so beautiful at the same time. Just know that you cross it. I mean, just cross the door. You close the door of your house. You leave there. You go to have a coffee, and you might meet the love of your life, or your next girlfriend for a few years, or the next travel buddy. You never know what's going to happen. But when you have the skill, life is much more better.
It's funny how that same mindset could be flipped. It's like the same situation a lot of people think of in the negative. They're like, God, I'm missing so many opportunities. There's so much that I'm losing. But then for you, it's like, you just go outside and you can explore and meet. Why are you so positive, man? What break down why you're so positive.
Man, I was born in this small town, and I just saw, I thought that was going to be a taxi driver. That was my highest goal when I was a teenager, because I thought that was no good for anything else. But then I proved myself that I was wrong. And then I built my dream lifestyle, and I'm living my dream come true right now. So why not being happy and proud? I'm grateful for this life I'm living, like to be here with you, talking in this beautiful place, like here in beautiful Medellin. I mean, how amazing is this? How awesome is this?
I like that. One thing I've been thinking about lately is, like, when things are frustrating, I just smile and accept it and go through it, because that's another moment of your life that you're having.
Yeah.
So, like, the other day, my air conditioner broke, and yeah, it's frustrating because the city gets hotter and hotter all the time. Thanks to calentamiento global.
Sí, señor.
And yeah, you just have to accept it and work through it and like even enjoy the process. And I remember there's this artist in New York who he spent about 10 years getting one of his public works to be shown in Manhattan. Just wow. Had like, it's like a sculpture or something that he put out there. And it was 10 years because it like 1 year to make it, but 9 years of dealing with the litigation and stuff in Manhattan. Wow. And on all dealing with all that stuff. But people said like, man, that must be fucking irritating, right? You have to deal with all those bureaucrats. And he's like, no, I consider it part of my art, right? It's part of my art to deal with those people to get my art to be shown. It's all part of the same thing. It's all part of the same life. The frustrating things, that's all a different color of your life. Embrace the negative times. Embrace the quote unquote, they're not even negative. It's just an unpleasant thing that you're currently going through that adds some more color and contrast to your life as well.
Absolutely.
So when you are having an incredible experience, two girls are blowing you or something, or you're doing ayahuasca in Peru or on a mountain or something, you can say, man, this is a great time.
This is a great time.
I really appreciate this.
It's like surfing. You have, I mean, you have to enjoy when you're on top of the wave, and also when you just fall from the wave, and then you have to try it again. And when something difficult happens, it's meant. I mean, the universe wants you to learn something. You can neglect it or accept it and learn, and you'll be a better human being after that, a better man.
They say when you succeed, you party, and when you fail, you ponder, which means like you think deeply about something, and often that pondering can lead to some great places.
Absolutely.
Too. And the it's another thing with game is that the rough rejections you have are things that actually teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
And then in the future you have this little like, it comes back from the past and you're like, don't do that thing, don't do the weird thing, don't get too close, don't say that thing around this person, they're sensitive to that. Like in Colombia, you'd never go like, oh yeah, I'm here for Pablo Escobar and cocaine.
Oh yeah, yeah, never say that.
Never.
Never, never say that in Colombia.
It's like there's certain things that you know you need to work on after the those bad experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's also an African proverb. It's like rough seas make skilled sailors.
Oh yeah.
Right? So going through tough challenges, going through hard things is going to teach you a lot more.
Yes.
Too.
Absolutely, I totally agree with that. I think.
Did you struggle when you first started game?
Oh yeah,
I often find that the people who stick in teaching the longest are people who struggle the most starting out.
I really struggled. It took me for like a good two and a half years. I was trying hard, going out a lot, no success whatsoever. I would approach 50 girls a day and nothing, 50 rejections.
Did you have a mentor at the time?
No. No, and it was funny because there was nobody in Argentina back in the day. Teaching was 2005, 2006. And I would look online, but then some contents would appear in English. I had spoke no English at all. So I was like, okay, I would just go out and see what other guys do and try to copy and paste it. Or just go and ask these guys what they're doing. And so that's how it started.
Like feeling in the dark almost.
Yeah, it was pretty much like that. So, oh, this guy did this.
Did you learn English because you wanted to learn game and a lot of the best content was in English, partially?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it's awesome. I mean, if you want to travel, it's the lingua franca.
Exactly.
Today. So you need it. It's like French was in the past, now it's English. I know guys that travel all over the world with only Spanish. I really don't know how they do it. But it's awesome to speak a second language, or at least English. You need English. You need English. You cannot go anywhere without English.
Yeah, you speak enough languages to communicate with essentially everyone on Earth, except for French, right? You don't speak French?
No, I don't speak French, but it's close.
You speak Chinese, Arabic, English, and Spanish.
My Chinese.
Spanish is like Latin America, English, North America, Europe.
Yeah, that helps a lot. I mean, I'm trying to work more in my Chinese. I'm working on that. Arabic is like over 20 countries to speak Arabic, and that's pretty. I mean, if you want to travel the Arab world, which
they're trying, aren't they trying to make like an Arabic that's standardized or something?
Yes,
because
modern standard Arabic.
I heard the difference between like Arabic and I forget the name in English now. Arabia Saudita.
Yeah,
Saudi Arabia. The difference between that and Morocco is like more than Spanish and Portuguese. That's
absolutely
what I heard.
Absolutely, because it's Gulf, Arabic, and Arabic from the Maghreb, which is like totally different. I went to Morocco and they speak like a mix between French and Arabic. It's very hard to understand. The modern standard Arabic I know, like I could understand so much from them. But
Moroccan chicks, oof.
But you can ask them to speak in Mother Standard Arabic, then they know how to speak it because they learn in school. Okay. But it's a beautiful language, and these people is also the Arabs, and for me they're the best people in the world for sure. The nicest, the warmest. I love the Arab people. They're so cool.
What do you think about the U.S.?
The U.S. The cousin.
gonna get on the FBI watch list.
Yeah, the workforce.
Homeland Man, Security.
The U.S. is it's a country big as a continent. It's a continent pretty much. It's almost whole North America. And it's hard to say it's a country because it's so diverse. Like if you go to, like when you're in LA, you go to New York, it's like two different countries. Or when you go to Arkansas and Oregon, two different countries. But at the same time, they all belong to the same.
Yeah, that was it. It was, you said off camera, Colombian women are like heroin and Russian women are like crack cocaine. What would Israeli women be then?
Meth. What makes between crystal meth? It's so special in Colombia because you get all this support by women here. They really teach you so good. They're really supportive. They always put you up. That's so amazing. These women from here, and they also like they're hungry of success. They're hungry of the beautiful things that life has to offer. And they also they battle against the macho culture. They battle against the sexism. They battle against the course of conservatism, you know, because back in the day they wouldn't pretty much go to school, you know. So things change a lot. If you read like Gabriel Garcia Marquez, he would tell them the first time he went to Bogota. He's from the north, from the coast. He says that there were no women on the streets in Bogota. Women will stay at home. So it changed a lot, this country, in the last 50 years for the good. And for Russia, well, Russia is a whole different world. When I first went to Russia, I asked a few Russians if they feel European. They say, we're not European, we're Russians. We're not Asians, we're Russians. And when you're there, you understand why they feel like that. It's a unique country, unique people, very cultured. I love the country.
And I think it's interesting that places like Colombia and Russia, I don't know about Russia, I haven't been there, but for Colombia, it's like the women are, they're strong women, but they embrace their femininity.
Oh, yes.
It's like they're almost stronger women than in the U.S. or Argentina, for example, but they embrace their femininity so strongly.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? I consider myself a feminist. I support feminism big time. But many times in Argentina,
you have to define that. Like, what actually? Yeah. For example, for me, I believe women should be able to do literally this anything they want in terms of their job.
Yeah,
believe they should. I believe in all of that. I believe in equality of opportunity, but I don't believe in equality of outcome where the government tries to force its bizarre ideas of what society should be. I believe it should be organic, and it should be same thing with languages. Like, you can't force a language like Esperanto. It doesn't work. It's an emergent phenomenon. I believe that's the same thing with society in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But I don't support that. I don't support like shaming men. For example, for like the thing, like they just looking at the next thing to attack, like man spreading, the male what is it called? The pelvis?
Yes.
The pelvis is shaped differently for a man, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There's so many things like this new breed of feminism has started in like 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I don't support it because it is 100%. It is not for equality. It's for female supremacy and male subjugation and just trying to get extracting the resources from men. And it's really separating the sexes and creating a strong division. But for example, my grandma was actually a really, not a prominent feminist, but she was a very strong feminist back in the day, fighting for the rights of women. Because she was born in, you know, the 1930s.
Wow.
And, you know, growing up, she's a very intelligent person. She wanted to have all the best things in life. And, you know, a lot of things were said, that's not for women. And for me, at this point, the more, because I'm huge, like, as you know, I'm huge about what was our primal origins. And the primal origins were women brought half of the food to the table. Men brought the hunt, and women, they brought the vegetables, the root vegetables, the berries, everything else. So women provide half of the food. So it is a very, and most hunter-gatherer societies, if not all, are extremely egalitarian. And there's no subjugation of people's sexuality. If like a woman's a lesbian, that's totally fine. If she wants two husbands, if she wants two wives, it's totally fine. But the problem was when we created the civilization, it became this, women became property. And do you know the actual reason behind that? Why women became property? And in the Bible, it says, don't cover thy neighbor's wife, house, or cattle. It's because when cows started to be domesticated, women in the primal times would breastfeed for 3 to 4 to 5 years. So they could only have a child every four or 5 years. But when civilization first started, they could take the milk from cows. So women essentially didn't have to provide milk and they could have babies every 9 months. So they became like a baby factory for the guys. And the more babies they got, also the more workers they got for the fields and stuff.
Exactly.
So that's where it became possessiveness in of the woman. But now we're seeing like the reemergence of the paleo diet, the vegan diet, sexuality, embracing people allowed to do gay marriage, tolerance, these types of things, absolutely. Egalitarianism. So I'm 100% for egalitarianism, but I'm not for female supremacy or male subjugation or these quirky things like man spreading and fart rape and these ridiculous terms.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I agree with you, actually. I consider myself a feminist on the terms that men and women should be treated equally in any, in every situation, by the government, by society. That if a girl wants to wear a short skirt, she could be able to go on the streets without the fear of being harassed. I've been to some countries where sexual harassment is the most normal thing in the world. I happened to spend a few months in Armenia last year, and I was horrorized. Even cops sexually harass women. Cops. Only place in the world I saw that. They told me, oh, you're going to go to the Middle East and women are treated badly. Well, I haven't saw that in the Middle East. I saw that in Caucasus, in Europe. And I think that's not right. But on the other hand, I see a lot of hate. In Spanish, I don't know if this expression in English exists, the feminazi. I understand these girls, like totally understand. So many generations of oppression made them full of anger, and that's totally understandable.
Or they're speaking from a place of pain because they've had, let's say, a man or an uncle or someone, you know, molest them at some point, and then they take this anger and they go, fuck, I need to get back at this.
Yes.
And it's the same thing, like, dude, I've had friends who have been, like, they've had a babysitter or whatever molest them. They've been, you know, men that have been molested or beaten by their mothers or whatever, and they have this anger towards women.
Yes.
And, like, in coaching, you sometimes come across guys that have an anger towards women, and I refuse them as clients personally, but I can understand where they're coming from.
Yes.
But I do not think that that is the right solution.
It's not the right solution at all, because this brings more hate to society. This brings much more hate, and this is not a solution. I mean, the feminist, you know, in Argentina is very strong, and I really support it, but sometimes it's just too much, and there's too much hate, and that's not going to lead to anywhere good. And there's a lot of ignorance, and a lot of people, not only in the feminist movement, but in every different movement, people want to belong somewhere. They want to belong to a group. So sometimes goes into like a fashion. Like I'm a hardcore vegan, and every time I have a chance to talk about veganism, I do it. But sometimes I come across vegans that have no idea what veganism is about. When they wear the shirts, I'm a vegan for the planet Earth. But then when I talk to them, they really have no idea what veganism is all about. And this happens in the feminist movement, the LGBT movement, or any pickup community.
It's essentially movement. People trying to virtue signal. Because I can tell from your position, you genuinely believe this, feel this 100% to your core. Whereas a lot of people, they wear it like a fashion symbol almost. Absolutely. To show like their almost status, but also showing like, look, I'm a good person. How do these people not understand? Like, it's so clear what a lot of people like this do, right? When they're like... It's like if I made a Facebook status, just so you guys know, I'm against genocide. It's like, no shit, dude. Yeah. Everyone is.
Everybody is.
Look how good of a person I am. That stuff makes me cringe.
Acceptance. But. That's why I follow some Instagram pages that talk about history, amazing photos, and they tell us about history. They have 200 likes, but then a girl or a handsome guy make a selfie doing nothing but showing the beautiful eyes or the beautiful body, 20,000 likes. And it's all because of acceptance. Why do you need to put a selfie of you at the gym? Why?
Dude, and it's so funny because guys look at these Instagram girls like just an adoration, like they're the pinnacle of. Yeah. But most of the, I actually know a girl here. She's actually in real life, she's gorgeous. She's like 10. My assistant here was dating her for a while. Holy shit, dude. Wow. She's gorgeous. The thing is, she's an e-girl, an Instagram thought or whatever. And dude, it's like you're around this almost like child that's an adult. What is it? Is there a word for this? It's like someone who didn't grow up.
Yeah.
And it's literally like they're just like, look, they need attention. And the thing was, she was the most self-conscious person my assistant had ever had sex with. During sex, she's like covering her breast because she's like B cups or something. She's like, her ass is like the best ass of all time. And she's in her face is beautiful. She's like any guy's dream, and she's literally self-conscious.
Wow.
And yeah, a lot of the guys don't understand that. The women who often are showing their beauty the most are often not the most spiritually evolved. They're not the most personally evolved. They're honestly not the most fun to be around.
Oh, I know.
And honestly, go for beautiful women. I believe every guy should go for your personal eight or whatever that is for you. A girl that triggers you emotionally and just like, wow, she's hot. But make sure that she has the qualities of the person that you're going to want to be around long term.
That's the most important part, because after 5-10 times you have sex with her, then what?
The lust fades away, and that's when you need a new phase.
Exactly. If you're looking for a relationship, I mean, looks are not enough. Looks are not enough. You need something to connect, to learn. It's amazing when you can learn from a woman. There's a lot to learn. I feel that women are our best masters, our best teachers. The most incredible experiences I ever had in my life, and the biggest things I learned, they came from women, for sure.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Dude, there's literally nothing better. Like this is my ideal experience that I've had several times, but honestly, I could do it 100 more times in my life. A psychedelic trip with a beautiful girl in nature.
Nice.
How much better can you get than that? Literally, you got that human connection. You're in a beautiful place. There's not many people around. It's just you and her experiencing this epic trip together in nature. Yeah.
In there. that's nothing better than that. Nothing better than that.
Where have you done this?
I did it. It's amazing. It's a total beautiful energy. It was freezing. It was freezing. It was middle of the winter. It was in a forest south of Buenos Aires.
Okay.
A few degrees under zero in Celsius. I know you're thinking Fahrenheit. Oh, do you understand?
I understand.
Okay. A few degrees under zero. Was freezing, but we didn't feel the cold, man. It was so beautiful, so majestic, this forest at night in the middle of the winter.
Fuck, dude. I wish I was born in like Chile or just that's so, it's such a beautiful part of the world.
Oh yeah,
that southern cone.
Oh yeah,
I want to go. Chile is one of the main places I want to go back. I also got invited to speak at an event in Buenos Aires.
Oh yeah,
but it's all in Spanish, so I have to like.
Your Spanish is amazing. I was mind blown when I heard his Spanish. Amazing.
Tengo que mejorar más porque. Para explicar cosas en español sobre game y seducción, tengo que aprender. Tengo que ver tus videos.
Mis videos, sorry.
Y los videos de... ¿Cómo se dice el hombre de Madrid? Alvaro Reyes.
Ah, Alvaro Reyes. Sí. Even though we speak very different Spanish.
Yeah. But I gotta learn those terms.
Oh, yeah.
How would you say pooling?
Pooling.
So, for example, it's basically seeding the pool is like... Yeah, do you smoke weed? Oh, cool. I got some cool weed at my place. Like, what would you call seeding? It's like just talking about things that you and her could do together to pave the way for you going back to your place.
That's very interesting. I don't think there's a literal translation to Spanish, or at least to the Spanish I speak. But
how would you say like seeding a plant, like putting a seed in the
plantar.
Ground?
Plantar.
Okay.
Plantar. But plantar.
So plantar las semillas para para pul.
For example, in Argentina, when we say plantar, it means that you agreed to have a meeting with someone, and that person doesn't show up for some reason, and you are plantado. That person plants you.
Vamos a crear una léxica.
Un léxico para estas palabras.
Español.
Yeah, like English has so many words, like so useful, with no literal translation to other languages.
How's your German?
Oh, mein Deutsch.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Yeah, und... Yeah, und ich
dude, I heard German you have feminine, masculine, and neutral, like, what is it called?
Yeah, die, das, der.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very tricky. Like, once I asked my teacher in Germany, how the hell would I know? Because in Spanish, the sun is masculine, the moon is feminine, but in German, it's the opposite. So I was like, what's the rule to know when's feminine, neutral, and masculine? Mm. She said, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. I was like, okay, but then you feel. But then you see these long words. And then I asked my teacher, how the hell would I know when I have to write all the words together? And she said, you'll feel it. And that's true. You feel it. I don't know how, but you feel it. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful language, German. And I would like to learn some very difficult language, like, I don't know, Hungarian or Basque or
dude,
Armenian.
Dude, Hungarian is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, every word just looks like it's just... It's like you took, like, a spinning letter thing or something and just... random letter generator, yeah. And that's how they created their language.
It's a beautiful language. Some of the most beautiful women in the world live there, too. So.
Yeah.
So it must be
handy. Sort of one of my porn star friends is now. I did this podcast with her. She's really big fan of Budapest. That's a big porn capital.
Man, Budapest is amazing. I love Budapest. I've been there a number of times. Love it.
Have you had a threesome?
Well, you know what? I never really fantasized with that, even though I had some experiences. But it hasn't... For me, it wasn't like the... Oh, big thing. Mm-hmm. I've been always more like into the connection kind of guy. Yeah. I like to go on this amazing love story trips.
Do you meditate before you have sex with girls?
I think you can live in a constant state of meditation as long as you are present.
I like that. Yeah, it's like part of what meditation teaches you is to be mindful.
Yeah,
and then if you take that mindfulness throughout your day, like right now, I feel really present.
Yeah,
I feel
me
like
too.
I'm in a state of meditation, and when you're having sex,
it's magical.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like lately, I understood it. Actually, in the last 2 years, I understood that we got to be careful with whom we have sex. Because sometimes, I mean, this exchange of energies can affect you so bad sometimes. So I became really, really picky on the girls I sleep with. How? Okay, she's beautiful. I really like it. I really like her. Okay, but what's the cost of this? How much is it going to cost me? 2 or 3 weeks like of feeling like shit because I got... this negative energy, whatever, is that worth? Yes, no.
Dude, I have vividly had this remembrance in my mind of in Toronto.
Yeah.
I went to this girl's house, disgusting, just like gross, just like this girl who's like the definition of like some like a, you know, that rat in the cage that press the dopamine thing. It's literally her Instagram, yeah. Weed, like just like addicted to things, just dysfunctional, and. I didn't have sex with her because that energy was just, that was a very heavy place. And you know what? I love helping girls out in their lives. And I do think that is part of my purpose on the planet is to like, when I have a girl, I improve her life. No girl who ends up breaking up with me, her life is worse.
That's
my current girlfriend, got her in the gym, eating healthy, started meditating, bought her some books, introduced her to self-development concepts, to business concepts. She started making more money. Like, there's a lot of things like if I left right now, her life is 10x what it was before.
Yeah.
And she thanks me all the time. She's like, oh, my body, I love it. It's so great. I thank you for helping me do this and like believing in me. And like some things like she had a time in her life where she didn't connect with her family and helped her through that. And you and me being, you know, self-development coaches in a way, which we are. You can take a lot of stuff that you teach your students and I teach my students and give to girls that we're needing.
Absolutely.
I even teach my students there's a meditation and connection exercises that I do in my program and I have them do it with girls. And some girls, like when you directly look into a girl's eyes like this, you'll see them light up a lot of time, because very few men are sharing presence with them. Very few men are present and sharing that moment with them. And there's nothing more beautiful that you could give to someone than a moment.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. Not distraction, not noise, not more confusion. Just being
it's,
there.
It's beautiful when you go on a date and the girl takes the phone, turns it off, put it in the purse. Oof. You know you're in front of the
me pones muy duro. Apaga el celular.
Apaga el celular. Pack. Puta. That's that's incredible. Yeah.
That's the thing about here too is you don't see as many girls on their phone. In the US everything is like yeah. this. And that affects me to a certain point too. Oh, the topic I want to talk about before, let me see if it's still fucking rolling, is you have to take the old with the new. So, like, you going to do an ayahuasca with that person, you going to that tribe, you embracing nature in some aspects, that all imbibes your life with, like, this, or sorry, imbues your life with this sense of richness. But also take the good stuff from civilization, the things that we've created, such as the best music, being able to eat 500 types of food right now.
Yeah.
Getting Rappi delivered to your house.
Rappi. Yeah.
You know, if having the assurance that if you broke your leg, you could go to the doctor.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing.
We literally are living the best time right now in terms of
sure.
You can create a life where you live almost a hunter-gatherer existence. You can go live in nature. You can go to a national park. You can spend most of your nights living under the stars. And then you can come to a city, do some day game, meet an awesome girl, have an adventure with her, get Rappi delivered, call it a day.
That's so incredible. Like a few years back, I started to do my family tree. So it's like now we are in Medellin, but tomorrow at the same time we could be in Madrid or in London or in Brussels or whatever. And I remember the tales of my grandma when she came from the old country. Like it would take her like a month or 2 months to get to Argentina.
Meanwhile, you take a poop and watch a movie on a flight here in a new country.
Exactly. How awesome is that? And during those days was so hard to date because, you know, like women were not really allowed to date, to go on the streets or meet some other guys. So you had to knock the door, talk to her dad, that would allow her maybe to take a little walk with you in the park, and then you had to bring her back, and you wouldn't sleep with her unless you marry. So it was tough times for dating.
Yeah.
Tough times for traveling. And that was only 40 years, 50 years ago.
But then that, because everything, I like to look at what the reverse would be. So in that time, maybe your grandma appreciated coming to Argentina more than you would appreciate going to Brussels, because you can just pop out whenever you want.
Yeah.
And maybe staying put in the one place maybe have given some people a better experience. I know you and I are probably more explorer types. Like I literally think, like, if I was back in the 1500s, I'd be a conquistador coming over here, exploring the new land. You
but
know?
I will become friends with the Indians. I wouldn't impress them. I would be friends with them.
This is another thing. More people. So basically, there's a lot of stories of a conquistador or a settler becoming part of that Indian tribe, that Native American tribe. But and they love it. But every time a native person has been taken to England or the settlers in America or whatever, they want to go back immediately.
Yeah, of course.
They want to go back because it's literally like you're living in pace with nature. I remember this hiker, Andrew Skirka. He was in Alaska. He planned this route from the Yukon in Canada and through Alaska. And a lot of the routes he follows were just deer and elk, and that you're following paths of nature, and all you're doing when you're hiking is walking, eating, and sleeping, which is essentially what your kind of purpose is as a human being anyway, as a species on this planet. And he felt so in rhythm with life that he wept for an hour. Wow. Where he just felt like there is nothing that separates me from this deer. There's nothing that separates me from that. I'm like in the flow of living in earth. It's kind of an interesting thought.
That's amazing.
So even if you are okay with being in an open relationship, like I'm currently open with my girl. She can date girls and I can date girls. She can't date guys. But it's never good to like throw it in the girl's face, right? So as much as you can do to prevent that, that's good. But yeah, do you want to wrap it here? Okay. So it's been great talking with Gerardo. He's got to run. He's got a previously scheduled engagement.
Yeah.
But yeah, where can they find you if they want to? Do you have any content online that?
Yes, I mostly work with the bad boy lifestyle in Europe and in the United States. We do a lot of coaching to go with the bad boy for like about 5, 6, 8 years since we know each other. We've been great friends, and now we work together. We run the summer camp every year in Croatia, which is absolutely awesome. And when I'm in South America, Escuela de Habilidades Blandas.cl. It's a long name, right? But yeah, and that's how you find me. Now, of course, my name in Instagram. I'm on pretty much in all the social media, sharing about my trips and my new discoveries about dating and also things in life around the world.
Gerardo Mañano. How do you pronounce your name, like, from Argentina?
From Argentina, I say Gerardo Mañano.
Gerardo Mañano.
In Italian, Gerardo Mañano. It's the same, pretty much.
Hasta mañana.
Hasta mañana, caballero. Boom.